the late Ray Kroc, the founder of McDonald's, once said, if someone were to ask me my top three priorities, I would say God first, family second, and my job third. However, he said, Ray said, I must admit that every Monday morning when I enter my office, the order is completely reversed. Few men are as honest as Ray Kroc was. He's since deceased. But men, the problem is, and this is where we need to go this morning, if you start to think in terms of priorities with God, those priorities become a rival to Him, and we are here to proclaim this morning, He has no rivals. Open your Bibles to the 20th chapter of Exodus. Exodus, the 20th chapter. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. God is reminding us in verse 2, and was reminding the people at that time. Let's read it again. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. God is reminding them of what He did for them. They were in bondage in Egypt for 400 years, and He sent Moses down to them. He was gracious to them, and He took them out of bondage. He redeemed them from their captivity. If your mind starts to think, and you start to picture in your own mind what Jesus Christ has done for you, that's okay. The scripture here does not explicitly tell us that, but if you say, you know, that's sort of the way God has treated me, that's okay. It's okay to let our minds run in that direction. He released them from their captivity. So verse 2, as we get going today in the text of the Ten Commandments, is a reminder that the Ten Commandments are given in a context of grace and redemption. Verse 3 is really the first commandment. You shall have no other gods before me. The first commandment deals with the worth, the value that we assign to God. He is unique. He is unique. He is almighty. He created everything. My first Bible teacher, my first Sunday school teacher, 18 years ago, said if you can get by Genesis 1:1, you can get by anything in the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Jeremiah tells us, by His mighty power and outstretched arms, He created the heavens and the earth. There's nothing too hard for Him. Paul tells us in the book of Colossians, in the first chapter, speaking of Jesus Christ, all things were made by Him and for Him. What does that leave out? So He is almighty. He's all-powerful. He's all-knowing. He knows everything. In the book of Hebrews, the writer tells us that nothing in all creation is hidden from His sight. Nothing in all creation is hidden from His sight. And Paul tells us in the book of Romans, in the 11th chapter, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom of the knowledge of God. It's fathomless. He is almighty. He is all-knowing. And He controls everything. David, in the book of 2 Samuel, when the Lord made it clear to him that it was going to be through his line, through David and Solomon, it was going to be through his line that his everlasting kingdom would be established, David gets down on his knees and he says, "Oh, sovereign Lord, who am I and who is my family that you have brought me this far?" He is almighty, he is all-knowing, and he controls everything. Just to pick out three attributes of a list that is almost endless. He does it all. Nothing can rival God's character and nature. Nothing can rival it. 18 years ago, I was standing in the kitchen of our heavily mortgaged house in St. David's, Pennsylvania. Nothing wrong with that, right? Standing here in the kitchen trying to figure out how we're going to pay for this monument to my ego. And my wife walked through the back door and she looked me right in the eye and she said, "Chris, today I did what you're going to eventually have to do. I asked Jesus Christ to come into my life." And what I'm telling you that story because the message to me was this: without a lot of words, He is ultimate. He is above everything, even you and me. There was not even a hint of rivalry. God is God. He is not a priority. One of the reasons why I think I am such a fortunate man is that I'm married to a woman that has that attitude toward the Lord. Putting God on any kind of priority list, God first, family second, job third, is totally misses the point of this first commandment. Are you getting the subtlety of what I'm trying to say here? It's totally out of character to talk about God first, family second, and your job third. He doesn't belong in the same conversation. God is not in juxtaposition to wives and businesses and children and golf games. He is not even in that league. A young man several years ago that used to come here, he asked to have lunch with me, and his name was Ben. We went out together. He was rather new in the faith. He was very excited about the Lord, and he went home and he told his wife that, you know, God is first and you're second. And I said to him, from a very practical standpoint, I wouldn't quite put it that way. Wives do not want to compete with God, and they don't need to compete with God. God is God. God's people could have missed the Red Sea if they forgot who He was. When we allow anything to get in the way of God as the central focus of our lives, if we allow anything to rival Him, we will miss His plan for our lives. We will miss experiencing the true God. Now, as we conclude this morning, from a practical standpoint, one of the ways we want to minister here at Houlihan's and in other places where we have a Friday morning men's fellowship, we're going to try to get practical. Sometimes it's hard to do. It's a little easier. I've been listening last night and this morning in my car to some wonderful preaching on the subject of assigning worth and value to God. Frankly, sometimes it's easier to get religious about this. But how could we get practical about it. If you have no other gods before Him, if there are no rivals to God in your life, how will that really be reflected in your life? If you will, practically. Well, I, without hesitation, let me tell you where I am on this. If there are no other gods before Him in your life, if there are no rivals to Him in your life, that will be reflected in the time you spend with Him, getting to know Him in the Scripture. Because you will have the wrong idea of who He is if you don't know the Scripture. One of the reasons why I like coming to Houlihan's is the challenge that I get here. One of our guys came by the other day and brought this book to me, which I've been enjoying. I'm doing one chapter a day at home. It's called Experiencing God. Knowing and Doing the Will of God. It's a tremendous challenge, but it's amazing to me how if I get up in the morning and I spend 15 minutes just with a pen and a little booklet like this, and I open the Scripture, how I get to know who He is more effectively. It affects my life, it affects my effectiveness as a husband, as a father, as a businessman. So I guess the bottom line challenge today is this. We've all heard the Ten Commandments before, right? What practical difference is it going to make in knowing that He wants no other gods before Him? It will be reflected practically in the time you spent in personal study of His Scripture. That's where we meet and experience the Lord. Let's have a prayer together. Thank you for bearing with us this morning. And listen, on this whole idea of the fourth Friday, if this is true, if we know the true God, if He has revealed Himself to us in Jesus Christ and in His Scripture, shouldn't we be a little bit more aggressive about bringing a friend to join us? Or it's not true. If it's true, we ought to be 10 times more aggressive. No hype, no guilt, but be thinking once a month, be thinking that way on the fourth Friday. Hey, if they come on the first, second, or third Friday, it's okay. But let's just be thinking that way without losing what I find here. I hope you do. I find a freedom. I find a love and an acceptance. And I don't have to be told to bring anybody, okay? It's just a small emphasis that we're making. Okay, let's have a prayer together this morning. Lord, by Your mighty power and outstretched arms, You created the heavens and the earth. There's nothing too hard for Thee. We pray, Lord, for Your continued grace in our lives, especially give us the grace to get to know You better, and so we can assign the proper value and worth to You, because You are unique. You are the mighty God. You are a sovereign God. You know everything. You know in my case, Lord, You don't have as much to do, but You know that very hairs on our head. We praise You and thank You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have a good time at your tables this morning.